Just when you thought that Harvard couldn't cozy up with the CCP anymore, they made an offspring of a CCP elite do the commencement speech, and it was basically a word salad, and it made both the Chinese and the Americans mad. So let's talk about it. This is Jiang Yurong, better known as Luana, and her commencement speech was essentially a CCP talking points concert. In the speech, she repeated the CCP talking points like Xi Jinping's shared mankind, community, common destiny, or something like that, which essentially is Xi's plan to dominate the world. Now, she also was critical of human rights and women's issues around the world, except she wasn't critical of that what's happening in her home country, China, like the mother that was chained around her neck. Even her gown was seemingly planned. Here is Chinese state media China Daily talking about that exact same dress that she was wearing. Now, this speech has drawn hate on both sides. Even the Chinese internet users are mad about this speech. Rightly so, because it's even an embarrassment for the Chinese people when they talk about this stuff at Harvard. Now, the worst part for the Chinese internet users is actually timing. Why? Well, because last month there was this massive rage about, nepotism in China. This Chinese doctor essentially got through her education, her job, and later her advancement through career because of her extensive connections in the medical world in China. And of course, people were very mad about that. Then later, more recently, was a Chinese celebrity who wore million-dollar jewelries and pretended like her family wasn't rich. And that also backfired. So you can imagine the third CCP elite offspring to do this, and now at Harvard, is probably not the right time to do it. But before we continue, here is the other David that's going to tell you something very important. Dear China Insider viewers, this August, I'm heading to Forest City in Malaysia, a haunting symbol of China's real estate crisis. For a 7-day investigation, I'll be exploring the ghost city and speaking and interviewing with people in Malaysia and Singapore about the Chinese crisis in its real estate politics, as well as the general perception in Southeast Asia. My goal is to expose the growing influence of the Chinese Communist Party there. Your support will make this journey possible, powering China Insider to deliver unfiltered and bold truth. So why am I going? Well, it's probably the only place outside of China where we can witness the entirety of the Belt and Road Initiative from its rise to the downfall, the decade of Xi Jinping's ambition, and possibly witness the beginning and the end of the CCP's economic might. I am once again asking for your financial support. Sorry, that was my best Bernie impersonation. But in all seriousness, by donating, you become the driving force behind our mission with China Insider going to Southeast Asia. And here is how you can join us. While we're so grateful for any amount of donation that you can provide to us for this journey, if you donate $15, you will receive a personalized thank you letter from me. By donating $35, you receive a personalized thank you letter from me and exclusive behind-the-scenes photos of this trip, which will capture moments you will never see anywhere else. By donating $65, you will get a digital book packed with outtakes, unseen footage, and my personal reflection, offering a raw insider look into the ghost city and all of its former glory. It also includes all of the $35 tier donation rewards. And if you donate $100 or more, you will receive exclusive never-for-sale merchandise from China Insider specifically tailored for this trip, which is a unique keepsake for our top supporters, plus all of the previous tier rewards. Your generosity will fund the equipment, travel, and production of this trip, and we just can't thank you enough for sticking with us for the journey so far, and we hope to bring you all of the best stories around China, and this trip definitely will be one that's worth remembering, so join us on the journey and donate today. So thank you so much for those who have already donated to the Singapore campaign, and we'll definitely appreciate all the support that you can give us. So thank you so much again for being a viewer of China Insider. Yeah, remember I said this whole speech was just a word salad? Yeah, that's apparently the best that they can do with nepotism, which obviously it's not a good thing, right? And as an American, when you hear the CCP grand plan being used for a speech, you obviously don't like that. But as a Chinese person, when you hear that this is the best that Chinese or CCP nepotism can do, that's not going to cut it. Now, it's no secret that Harvard is in bed with the CCP elites at this point. In fact, internet users found that Luana was also present at the China Forum speech last year, where two girls protested in front of the Chinese ambassador, Xie Feng.
Thank you, everyone, for your patience. Thank you for the first perspective. And we welcome any discussion. We welcome any discussion during the Q&A section of our discussion.
I respect the right of people to express their views, but we would like to give our guests the opportunity to make their own views known.
So who is she and why does she get to speak here? Now, she was found to be the daughter of an official at, I gotta get this name right, the International Department of the China Biodiversity Conservation and Green Development Foundation, or CBCGDF for short, a mouthful indeed. Her admission to Harvard was through a recommendation by a volunteer coordinator at this particular foundation, and here you see the photo of the father of her and the man who recommended her together. But at CBCGDF, her dad even thanked this volunteer guy afterwards for getting his daughter into Harvard, and also it was alleged that the father had donated 1 million yuan to this foundation as well. That's obviously in exchange for the daughter's spot in Harvard. By the way, that volunteer coordinator is also a researcher at a Xi Jinping thought think tank, so it's very clear why the daughter would be repeating all these lines and talking points about Xi Jinping thoughts. Now, CBCGDF is also tied to the Chinese military through some of its contracts, but the foundation itself is a fully supported program through the Chinese State Council, and effectively, in China, charity programs or foundations, they're not independently operated. They're often overseen by some sort of a CCP elite or organizational structure. And so NGOs are not really NGOs. They're more like GOs. But here's where the extension of the drama happens, because internet users looked at her education record and they found something very strange. Now, first, obviously, after the speech came out, it was very controversial, and she made a post, which she now deleted, on RedNote/Xiaohongshu. And she basically cried that her family's not that rich and that, you know, her upbringing wasn't that good. And in fact, she suffered a lot in her younger years, and she was bullied, etc. But then again, because the details she wrote didn't match with her record, that's where things took another turn. She posted here that after their parents divorced, she grew distant from her father, but reality shows that it was her father who helped her get into Harvard through those connections. And in fact, most of the reports about Luana came from her father's NGO. She also claims to be from a poor family, but a poor family doesn't get to attend a prestigious UK boarding school, 4 years at Duke University, and 2 more years at Harvard University. So how exactly did she pay for this? Well, her answer was that she worked 4 years at 2 different investment firms, one in Switzerland, and I don't really know where the other one is, but that's how she saved up enough money for the tuition. But the thing is, if you spend a decade overseas in these schools, how is it possible that you can earn enough money? Because here's the thing. This girl is 26 years old. That means she did 4 years at Duke, 2 years at Harvard, 4 years of actually working, 4 more years of high school at a boarding school. That means, added all together, she was able to graduate high school at the age of 16, which is nearly impossible unless, of course, you lied about something. What's even worse is that she claims she attended Cardiff Sixth College in Wales in the UK. Now, this school is quite prestigious. In fact, she claims that she got a full ride scholarship to attend here. But on their website, it shows that they only cover 50% of the tuition through scholarships, and it's very hard to get. And also that the yearly cost of tuition here is about 60 to 70,000 British pounds, which is a lot of money for a regular Chinese family. That's just in a single year. So remember I said internet users in China were very mad. The people that were mad about her nepotism, then there's also the people who were mad about the nationalism aspect. Why? Because people think that NGOs in China, even though, you know, they're part of the CCP, they're in fact working for the American government. So some of these nationalistic internet users think that this girl is actually an American spy. So you didn't please the patriotic crowd, nor did you please the regular folks. See, this is why the speech backfired. Now the Chinese thinks that all of this export of Chinese propaganda doesn't work, and then the Americans are mad because, well, you know, there's more reasons to revoke the visas of international students. Look, I'm all for a great upbringing story or a story of hard work, right? Going to Harvard, whatnot. It's great, but not when you're attending Harvard, speaking CCP points, and then also helping to kick out Americans who are, you know, protesting, which is their right, during the speech of the Chinese ambassador. Yeah, that doesn't sit right with me. And plus 10 years of Western education overseas, and all she learned was to talk more lies for China, for the CCP. What happened to educational transformation? It doesn't seem like these elites are getting them. So maybe Harvard shouldn't take upon the duty of educating the international side of things, considering the fact that the goal of education is to change someone for the better, and yet when they're here, they seem to be changing the American way much more than the other way around. So can you name a bigger failure? Well, perhaps maybe the fact that right now Xi Jinping's daughter is living in America. Now, We know that she actually attended Harvard based on school records. She used a pseudonym. And then later, I actually did a video on this, so I'll link it here. But she lived in America and she actually owned an apartment in Manhattan. A pretty luxurious one, of course. The point here is that right now, since Xi Jinping is losing power, a lot of what's happening to this first family of China is quite interesting. We haven't seen the wife of Xi Jinping for many months now, not accompanying him on overseas trips. She's maybe being watched or being house arrested. Obviously, we're not going to hear anything about the daughter of Xi Jinping. That's probably the number one state secret when Xi Jinping was fully in control. And now when he's not anymore, well, we don't know what happens. But the key point here is that these CCP elites get to live in America. She probably has a green card, maybe even citizenship. But the point is they get to live here, and yet they're not converted into the American way. In fact, the danger of these CCP elites and Xi Jinping's daughter is that they have access to the elites in America, and that they're able to build those connections. So you're essentially, you know, this is not much worse or not much better than those who are stealing intellectual property or those who are taking research and taking them to China. That's not much different than that. It's just different levels of infiltration. So this makes that action of revoking Chinese student visas much more justifiable, considering the fact that look what's been happening at the higher institutions here. They're simply accepting this idea of a CCP infiltration. But also on the flip side, this is where I see the brightness of things. What happens if China tries to invade Taiwan? Well, look, your CCP elite officials, all their assets are in America, and their kids are studying here. And what happens, you know, if this might be a warning shot, what happens if you do try something like that? What's going to happen to your offsprings? What's going to happen to, you know, the assets you have? So that might be the only sort of trump card of this current situation. And so I don't think it's going to be easily used. And that's why I don't think they're going to kick her out so fast. But if they do, well, that's when relations will really sour. And that's when things are going to be really bad. But so far, it's still a big issue. We have to understand that accepting the education of CCP elites, it's like inviting the wolves into, I don't know, the pig's den or wherever else they're invited to. But that's a scary thing. All right, thanks so much for watching this episode. If you enjoy the content, leave a like, comment below your thoughts, and subscribe to our channel if you haven't already. And consider checking out our Singapore campaign. Link is in the description. All right, thank you so much. We'll see you next time.